This particular topic sort of eluded me a little bit, I'll admit. I was hoping to talk about lament today. And I have to apologize to my worship team because this was the thing that we were going to talk about. But I'm ending up talking about suffering instead. So, and you might wonder what lament and the difference is between lament and suffering. Well, lament is suffering because of the sin that you've committed, and that's lament. And so you regret the sin that you've committed, whereas suffering, well, I think you know what suffering is. So, and so we're going to just deal with suffering today, and maybe we'll get to lament another time. And so we read the psalm, Psalm 13, which is the Psalm of David. It's a shorter psalm, but it's one that's just packed full of stuff. I love this. Reading from verse 1. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. That's the whole psalm. Just a few verses. When the news came of the explosion that happened in Lebanon, my heart sank for the people there. I heard last week at one point, I'm sure that you did too. I heard it on the radio first. And I'm sure that you all have seen news reports about that explosion. If you haven't, it's quite dire. And you'll see several angles. If you search for it, you'll see several angles of the same massive explosion or explosions that happened in Lebanon, where there's devastation for blocks. And there's, over 150 people confirmed dead now and thousands injured. And it's just a horrific situation. You may have heard about the Manitoba tornado that killed a pair of teens this week and injured another person. You may have heard about the hurricanes that have been happening south of the border. You may have heard about the turmoil that's happening politically between Canada and you name the nation, because it seems that there's nations popping up all over the place that have turmoil. You may have heard the turmoil that's happening south of the border politically and north of the border politically. You may have heard about a certain illness that has happened with a certain person that you know very well. You may be experiencing a certain illness or a certain type of struggle in your life, perhaps with a person that you are close to. Maybe you're dealing with a loss that is very fresh for you. Perhaps you have an addiction, or you're living with somebody who does. All these things that I'm talking about seem to add up in our lives, don't they? It's one on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, and then throw COVID on top of it all, where we are restricted in our activities, where we're worried about what the new school year is going to bring, the new church year, and all this stuff, and we're living with a level of uncertainty that we haven't lived with in our lifetime, mostly. Perhaps those who have lived a little longer have had to live with this type of uncertainty in their lives. And so the anxiety level that we live in right now is probably about up to here. We're probably in pretty deep. We're dealing with struggle and strife. Even though we may not feel it all the time, even though we're pretty resilient, we think, everything is a consideration these days, to the point where you cannot go to the grocery store unless you remember your mask. Now, I'm not talking about one thing or another, masks, whatever. Whatever standpoint you believe in masks, it doesn't matter. But it's an extra consideration. It's an extra thing you need to do now. Even the simple thing by going out and getting groceries, you need to add a certain other element. And it just increases the anxiety level. And I don't know if you felt it or not, that just the tension level in our lives is just a little bit more elevated. And as every bad news situation gets added on, up it goes. Is this suffering? In a way, I think it is. We often attribute suffering with physical suffering, don't we? We say we physically suffer, as in we worry about those who are in severe pain or who have a severe disability or a severe disease, say as cancer or MS or whatever, that they are suffering. But I think, in a way, we are all under a large amount of stress that is taking a toll on our lives. We are suffering. In today's text, David is on the run, it's believed. He's on the run from Saul. Now, if you know the story about David and Saul, you know that they were pretty close at one point. Saul's son, Jonathan, and David are tight guys. They're like brothers, aren't they? They hang out together all the time. They're just the best of buds. Saul's Jonathan's dad, so David would hang out with Saul all the time in the palace, because Saul is king. And so they would hang out all the time. And one day, we talked about this a little while ago, one day Samuel knocks on Jesse's door. Jesse is David's son, David's dad, and anoints David as king of Israel. And that's great, except that Saul is still king. And Saul, with this news, is torn. He's torn between his love for his kingship and the power and the prestige and all the stuff that goes along with being king, and David, this kid or this young man who is like his own son. Saul's torn. And Saul chooses his kingship over David. And so he starts to chase after David, starts to attempt to kill David in order to retain his kingship. And David runs, sees what's going on, and gets out of there, gets out of Jerusalem, and heads for the hills, literally. Takes a band of men along with him, loyal men that are loyal to David, and goes out and hides, and he's on the run. Now, how long is David on the run for? Well, experts have said probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, that David's on the run for. That means 2 years of hiding out, 2 years of trying to escape certain death, 2 years of wondering if his loyal men are going to remain loyal to him in those 2 years, 2 years of not knowing where Saul is or how Saul is going to show up. Saul at one point recruited 3,000 guys to help him out, 3,000 trained soldiers to go and find David to kill him. And so there's a lot of stress and pressure and problems for David that he really didn't have, that he didn't start. Remember, David was anointed by Samuel to be king. And so David says, sure, that's fine. If only Saul would concede his kingship, then David could take the place that the Lord wanted them to take. But Saul doesn't want to concede the kingship. And so David's under an undue amount of stress. And it's really not his fault. God put him in that position. And David's on the run. And if you look at it from that point of view, you can see this text and how David wrote this song, because it's a song. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts day after day? Sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? David asked 4 questions of God. How long? How long? Are you gonna forget me forever? You see, I think David is a lot like you and I, in that most days we can handle the situation that we're in. Most days we're pretty resilient. But sometimes we get to that point where we just can't take it anymore. And we need that break. And we need somebody to step in and help us out. We need to be relieved of this pressure that we are under, this suffering. And so David's here, he's had it. Maybe it came to him in the middle of the night. Because I don't know about you, but in the middle of the night, when I got some stress on in my mind or in my heart, and I'm going through some struggles, middle of the night is not a good time. The middle of the night is tough, because that's when the devil sees your most vulnerable time, often. And you start to think, you're never going to overcome this thing. You're never going to beat it. You're going to be in this thing for the rest of your life. Why are you even doing this? How did you get here? And you're never going to get out. I think David's got this just like that. He's in this point where it's just like that. How long, Lord? Are you going to forget me forever? And so he asked God 4 questions. Next, what David does, is he complains. Look on me and answer, my Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I'm going to sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Saying, God, listen up. I'm going to die here. And my foes, my enemies, they're going to be laughing at me. They're going to overcome me. How can you do this to me? Why am I in this situation? And you may be asking this too, of your struggle. In all of the struggles and all of the stuff that's going on in your life, you may be asking these same questions. Why? How long is this going to last? What am I in? Is it ever going to end? Now, the question to ask is it bad to question God? And is it bad to complain to God about your situation? Because I come from a place, and I'm asking this honestly, because I come from a place where you did not question your parents when they said something. Mom, you could get away with a little bit. But when Dad said it, sorry, there was no getting away. There was no. No, I don't even want to, I shudder at the thought. And so we can take this same stance, we can look at the same thing with God. If we grew up with this type of mentality in our homes, we could look at the same thing with God. We're not going to question God at all. But David's not wrong here in questioning. God can handle the questions and complaints. Why? Because David never loses sight of who God is. He never loses sight that God is the creator of all things, that God is the Savior, that God, Yahweh, the name of God, he says it about two or three times in the text today, Yahweh, that God Almighty is his God. He never doubts it. And that's why he can ask, and that's why he can complain, because God, he does it, David does it in a way that respects the authority of the Lord. And so you and I too, we can say to God in our struggles and in our time of strife and in our time when we lose it, we can say the same thing to God. We can ask him, why am I here? What's happening to me? And I'm not going to make it out of here. As long as we don't lose this sight of a God's authority in our lives, because of God's goodness, he comes through for us. Now, take a look at the next verse. What's the next word in the next verse of today's text? But, you can almost hear the tone of David's voice change in this, if you read it right. I'm going back to verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And all my foes will rejoice when I fall. But, I trust in your unfailing love, says David. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. In other words, you've saved me, and my heart says thank you and is overjoyed. And I will sing the Lord's praise. Why? Because he has been good to me. Has David's situation changed? He's still in the same boat. He's still on the run. He's still saying the same sentences. His situation hasn't changed. He's gone from, I'm going to die here, to, you have been so good to me. We can say the same thing. God is good to you and I. How good is God? God is so good that he sent his son to die for your salvation, for you and I. So that every time you look at something like that or something like that Every time you look at a cross, you are reminded of God's goodness. It doesn't matter what the struggle is in your life. God is still good to you. You can ask the questions. You can complain. Never lose sight of God's goodness. Never lose sight of that. Where do we find out about God's goodness? Where do I start? There's so many verses, and I picked out a couple. I love this. This one, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a favorite. I love that. The idea of God upholding us with his right hand, his good hand, if you can see God with a good hand, his good hand, his strong hand, his right arm. He's holding you up. I love this from 1 Peter 5:10. God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You see, our suffering is for a short time. Our suffering is a for now thing. Our stress, our anxiety, our suffering is for now, compared to the eternity that awaits for us when we live with Christ forever. Forever. This is a drop in the bucket. We're not even scratching the surface. We're just lightly dusting over the surface a little bit. Paul says, Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present sufferings aren't worth comparing. It's not even worth comparing, says Paul. It's not even worth it. We will have it so good because God is good. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. That's Psalm 34, verse 19. We may have many troubles, but God takes care of them all for us. You see, when we don't lose sight of who God is, when we have a right understanding of who our God is, then we know for sure that he is good to us. He is good to us out of his love for us. And so we too can say with confidence these words, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And we can add in Jesus Christ right there. And then we could say as well, I will sing the Lord's praise. Why? Because he has been good to me. Amen. Let's pray. You have been good to us, God. You are good to us. Thank you for that reminder today. And help us, Lord, when times get too tough for us and when the struggle gets too intense, to take it to you, to ask, to bring you our troubles, to lay it all out, to give it all to you so that you can have it. And help us never to lose sight of who you are, so that we will always know that you are indeed our God. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's rise and sing to that.
Thank you.